Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
Glass half full and half empty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke sure straddled the fence yesterday. He said inflation and recession are equal threats. He said the economy will slow down considerably, but will bounce back in the middle of next year. Perhaps it was the perfect blend of realism and optimism, but it left Wall Street churning with uncertainty. In the end, the Dow fell a fraction, 33 points to 13,266, but it was down 200 points during the day. The NASDAQ had it worse. It lost almost 2% thanks to a negative report from Cisco Systems. The S&P 500 was down less than a point. The Asian markets bounced back today with a 0.5% gain. European shares are a tad higher so far. The dollar hit yet another low against the euro this morning. The one positive of a weaker dollar is that our trade gap with other countries is shrinking. We get the latest trade deficit numbers this morning. More now from Paul Brandis.
A weak dollar's no fun if you are a tourist heading overseas, but if you are a businessman exporting, say, widgets, it's good news because the cheap dollar makes them more competitive. And when that money from those sales comes home, says economist Gary Huffbauer of the Peterson Institute, it translates into a lot more dollars for American companies.
That works out to about an extra $100 billion or so of extra exports in 2008 above 2007.
An extra $100 billion, that's enough to add 1% to the U.S. economy next year, softening the blow from housing and oil prices. Even though the dollar is at record lows, Huffbauer thinks it'll continue to fall, narrowing the trade gap further.
We're about one-third of the way through the reduction in the trade deficit that we will see over the next 5 years.
Surging exports mean the U.S. is likely to stay the world's top exporter for quite a while. In Washington, I'm Paul Brandis for Marketplace.
After a tense debate, the House passed a free trade agreement with Peru yesterday. It's surprising just how contentious free trade is in Congress. I mean, free trade sounds like a good thing, but there's more to the story. Dan Gretsch reports from our America's desk at WLRN.
President Bush's free trade agenda has angered Democrats, but not for the obvious reason.
If these trade agreements were just about trade, there wouldn't be such a big fight.
Lori Wallach directs Public Citizens Global Trade Watch Division. She says these trade pacts are designed to advance the interests of U.S. corporations.
That's basically the corporate Christmas agenda of all the goodies you can possibly imagine.
Wallach says the fine print of the Peru trade pact bypasses food safety rules, promotes offshoring, and skirts environmental regulations.
All of these non-trade issues are the reason why these agreements are so fiercely opposed.
Three trade pacts are still on the table: South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Baseball hasn't been the national pastime for a long time, at least in terms of revenues. In recent years, the NFL has dominated the major leagues economically. But we just learned that baseball finished this season with just over $6 billion in revenue. And that puts it about dead even with football. Let's bring in our business of sports commentator, Diana Nyad. I find that pretty surprising. What's baseball doing right?
It's totally surprising. In the last 4 years, the NFL has grown by about 25% a year, which sounds right. Baseball has grown by 50% a year.
Wow. Revenues.
Revenues. And attendance at an all-time high. One of the reasons is that they're starting to build these, you know, urban ballparks. St. Louis and San Diego are great examples. You know, there are these beautiful retail stores. You go out for the experience, not just the ball game itself. And now New York, both the Mets and the Yankees, in a couple of years, are going to have brand new parks. Same thing. I mean, the Yankees are going to bring in about $100 million in luxury suites and things like that. And what's happened is that that kind of money by the big teams, you know, was forced a few years ago into revenue sharing. Mm-hmm. And that's why this year we've seen the intent of that revenue sharing come to life. Just as a, you know, I'm not a huge baseball follower, but it was great for me, and I think a lot of people, to see the Diamondbacks, the Cleveland Indians, and the Colorado Rockies instead of the perennial big money team. So, like, the whole country now has some reason to hope that their Pittsburgh Pirates, their Baltimore Orioles, their Seattle Mariners might make it up to the big show.
Well, obviously, baseball's economic health is pretty good right now. Are the managers going to see any of it? Because we hear about Joe Torre signing a big contract with the Dodgers, but I understand that the salaries for other baseball managers are quite low compared to other sports.
You're right. I was actually shocked. I had no idea. Half of the managers out there make less than $1 million a year. Now, we might say, well, that's a lot of money. Good. That's right. What they should be making, not these $10 million a year. Give me a break. But the truth is, the baseball managers, they work like dogs. I mean, from the day the season ends, they're over in Japan recruiting. They're getting ready to bid for those free agents, which will start next Tuesday. And, you know, Ozzie Guillen of the White Sox says, we are grossly underpaid. I think a huge reason is the college game. There's no major league manager who's looking to say, I think I might go manage Arizona State next year. There's no crossover at all with the college game. So there's not a marketplace at all. So the supply and demand all of a sudden is there's lots of supply and very little demand.
All right, Diana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
Diana Nyad, our business of sports commentator. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners, our website is marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. And have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.